I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Carson Anderson Dugout today. Stoney's in.
What up?
Hello, Michael.
How are you, Scott?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. This is like the Office show, Michael Scott.
In a way, yeah. Yeah, hopefully with a little more intellect, but yeah.
Well, similar success would be nice.
I'll take it. Yeah, the Office was entertaining for sure. I suppose that's all we need to aim for. Be entertaining. That's it.
Exactly.
That's it. That's it. That's all I'm looking for.
Right.
All right. I'm going to let you rant a little bit, okay? Because I know that this is probably something that's pent up in you. I've known you for a million years here. And I know that you're not happy with what's happening in the offseason here with the Red Wings.
Correct.
And free agency started yesterday at noon. And there was a flurry of free agent signings, but there wasn't a ton of players of real substance that went in free agency because all those players are re-signed by their own teams. That happened during the course of the weekend. And then also yesterday you learned that some more decided to return back to their homes, so to speak. So the free agent pool has gotten shallower and shallower going into free agency. And then after one day of free agency, it's very shallow. There's not much left. Of when you talk about players of substance, the Red Wings are looking for a top four defenseman. It's kind of hard to find in free agency, though. I did mention Brent Burns, who I think would be a welcomed addition, even though he's 40. The guy plays a ton of ice time on the blue line. He's awesome, and I think on a 1-year contract it would make a lot of sense. But I don't know if he'd want to come here on a 1-year contract. But who knows? We'll find out. And as far as forwards go, impact forwards. Nikolai Ehlers is like the last one that seems to be available in free agency. The route is going to have to be a trade if they're going to do something of significance. But to this point, the moves they have made, at least the moves that were made yesterday, I don't know if it gets to lukewarm. I mean, they made several acquisitions, a couple of defensemen nobody heard of, the aforementioned James Van Riemsdyk.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you speak first on this.
Look, I didn't expect much, and I think anything that was going to happen is going to happen afterwards is what I felt. I liked what they did with the goaltending situation. I think John Gibson is definitely an upgrade. But there are a few players that I thought they should have at least. Now, we don't know, Gavrikov or whatever you pronounce his name, the Kings guy who went to the Rangers.
Gavrikov,
okay. You know, we can sit there and criticize, well, how come they didn't get him? Well, I would assume, you know what happens when you assume, that they did, reach out and he said, you know what, I'd rather play with the Rangers, which, I don't blame him per se. The Red Wings are so far away from being a Stanley Cup contender, so it's tough if the money's going to be the same pretty much, and a lot of teams had a decent amount of cap room, there wasn't much out there. So, but, there's some little ones that I thought it would have been nice if they could have, like Vegas, they got Vancouver, they re-signed Brock Besser, which surprised me. I thought that was somebody, oh boy.
He was one of the top free agents out there in the market and he goes back home.
He'd be pretty good. But you look at a lot of the ones that were signed yesterday and it's like, really? Yeah, great. Corey Perry. Yeah, is he going to come here? Do we need him? No, the Red Wings are so far away from being a Stanley Cup contender. My first reaction to Boston getting, Tanner Janot, really good, but 5 years for, even though it's only 3.4, he's not that good. So that, I'll give Yzerman a little slack for that, but it's the overall picture. He's drafted well. There's got to be a time where he actually goes and makes a good off-season acquisition of a proven player. We've got nothing to show for it. Nothing. DeBrincat was the best trade he's made. And that was only facilitated because DeBrincat, A, wanted to get the hell out of Ottawa, and B, he grew up here and he wanted to be here. And because he was here, that's probably the reason why they got Kane, and although they gave him a chance with the injury. There's not that many people who want to come here. That's number one. But he's got to be able to do this. And, you know, and I know it wasn't huge term, but by his standards, it was. I mean, the Kopp and the Compher, they're decent players. I mean, Kopp actually played pretty well before he got hurt last year. Where are these acquisitions that other teams are making?
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's getting to the point where, you know, you love Steve Yzerman. He's drafted well, like I said. But if he cannot do enough to improve this team where they can at least maybe make the playoffs, something crazy going on here. And I'm not per se calling for his head now, but if they regress this year, which would not stun me, then you have to look at it. Because the only way this team, without another trade, that they're going to actually be a contender is what we seem to believe around here with a lot of our teams, but that's okay. The younger players have to just get better and be better than other teams' younger players who are also in the same vein. I listen to Spit and Chicklets a lot, and they talk about the triangle of Detroit, Buffalo, and Ottawa. And now Montreal's in there. So you have four teams that are basically, a year ago, 2 years ago, are all the same. The Red Wings and Sabres are pretty much equal. I think the Red Wings are a little bit ahead of that, but if you're a Buffalo fan, you're saying, wow, maybe finally our young guys will develop and become good, and we can get into that. And this division, it's going to be really, really tough. And, you know, it's not all Steve's fault, okay? But I am certainly no Steve bot, as they say in the afternoon. He and I even asked him at that press conference at the end of the season about the pro scouting department. It's a joke. It's ridiculous. You cannot get better players in here. And that's the frustration that I think I have and a lot of Red Wing fans have. I mean, even guys like, you know, Tanev, who signed, you know, with Utah. The Utah Mammoth are getting much, now they have more cap room. They're getting, pun intended, mammoth players as opposed to what the Red Wings are doing.
I don't know if they're getting mammoth players, but and you already said that they have more money to spend, so they went and got their guys. I understand the frustration of every Red Wing fan out there. I'm a Red Wing fan. I am frustrated. But I can't sit here and think that they're sitting on whatever it is, $17 million of cap space or whatever the number is. I mean, they're going to have signed Elmer Soderblom at some point. He's a restricted free agent. They want to take care of him, make sure he's here because he's a quality player. I can't believe
it. Is he really a quality? I mean, yeah, it's like Bergeron.
Sold on Bergeron. I'm talking about Soderblom.
But all
I'm sold on Soderblom. I think his size and his hands, towards the end of the season, you started to see a different type of player, and he wasn't healthy the entire year. I like Elmer Soderblom. I think there's something there. And I'm not saying he's going to be an all-star, but, you know, for a third or fourth line guy, for a back six forward, I'm fine with it. But they have too much cap space here to work with to not make something happen. And I said this to Jim Costa outside that, you know, they're understanding the frustration. I'm trying to sift through all the stuff as well and trying to find a silver lining. And it's the only silver lining left for the team right now, it has to be trade.
Yes.
And there are maybe as many as 500 players in the NHL that could be traded. Nobody knows who they are. You don't know what the circumstances are of every player. You don't know unless you do this incredibly deep dive, which is what the organizations do, and this is why they target players they target. But there are players, good players, that are probably on some bad teams and have a contract that those teams would like to get rid of before they become free agents and lose them for nothing, that can still happen. I get the ideal time to move those guys would have been before free agency. Mm-hmm. But if you're a bad team, you're unable to unload guys sometimes, right? So even if you're a good team and you got a contract of a guy who's going to be a free agent after next year, you might be inclined to move said player because this, it's still a fluid offseason. Players get traded all the time. All the time up to training camp and even into training camp.
I know. That's why I said, I'm hoping there's a trade.
I'm hoping there's a trade. Now, there's one other silver lining that I will get to coming up at 10:19, I think. But I'm not sure it's huge, but I'm going to put it out there because it's something that we want to discuss about the future of this team. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text us if you'd like to go that route. We will read some of those texts as well right here on 97.1 The Ticket.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.